is Sight to the Blind. I wanted to talk about Donald Trump's involvement with Nigeria as it relates to Christians being persecuted and killed, supposedly by Muslims. You have to understand the spiritual war that we are in. And we also could go to the Bible, and through the Bible, through the Torah, through these verses, line upon line, precept upon precept, can we truly understand what has happened in Scripture should allow you not to feel any thing, any emotion, any sorrow or remorse for Christians in Nigeria, especially if Freemasons are pushing it. If Satanists, Luciferians are trying to bring to your attention Christians being killed in mass numbers by another religion, you should stay out of it. You should understand that the Most High has done worse to the nation of Yasharel. He has done worse to the Canaanites. Why? Because they tried, or they were tampering with religion. The Most High has destroyed kingdoms. Men, women, children, cattle, didn't matter, because of religion. I thought Christians thought it was a badge of honor to die for one's religious beliefs. If you are supposedly following Jesus and you're giving your life over to Jesus, then why are we feeling anything for Christians being slaughtered in Nigeria? Especially in the Most High's domain. If you understand where the boundaries of real Yasharel is, it's by the Niger River, which is a tributary to the Euphrates River, all the way to the Nile and downward. So Nigeria rests in that land, or in within those borders. So if the Most High was cleansing the land, which we'll say this is something that goes on, if the Most High is cleansing the land, wouldn't religions be the first thing to go, regardless of who it's attached to? And not all Nigerians are Shemites. How do you not know that these Nigerians are the seed of Canaan? And didn't Canaan was supposed to be wiped out in Scripture? Wouldn't the seed of Cain and the seed of the Canaanite were going to be purged from the earth? So how do we not know that the biblical nation that are happen to be Christians or participating in Christianity aren't of those nations? But back over here, people are, oh, there's no media attention, there's no this, there's no that. And black people see it as just black people being persecuted just for the sake that they can use their victim card. Not that they actually care, but they want to use their victim card. Like, oh, black people are being tormented again. Because what? Our ancestors, who were our forefathers, who were Christians in the 1960s and 1950s and 1940s, were being persecuted the same. They were losing their lives, maybe not over religion, but they were losing their lives, and they happened to be Christians. I don't know why people don't understand that the reason why Dylann Roof walked into that church was because he had the power to. And because he was spiritually legal to touch that church and touch the inhabitants or the congregants of that church. Or any shooting that's ever happened into a church, it shows it has no power. When has the Most High let anyone go into the temple without first warning that he was going to bring destruction upon the temple? No one's ever just walked into the temple beforehand and said, I'ma eradicate the congregants of this temple, the temple of Yahuwah. Nowhere in Scripture has anyone popped up or pulled up to take out anybody, any Israelite, while they were in the temple. Now, he has told us through Scripture multiple times, if you do not do this, I'm going to send a nation that you know not, a nation whose tongue you don't understand, and I'm going to tear it all up. And I'm gonna tear it down and build it up again, but I'm gonna tear it back down. Because you what? Decide to follow after other people's gods. So I'm pretty sure the Most High was gonna tell the Nigerians, if he ever said anything out of the clouds, he would say the same thing he said to us in the book of Judges. Let Jesus Christ save you. Have y'all looked up the uniform of Nigerian pastors, prophets, apostles, and priests in their churches? They have the Roman Catholic dog collar. That's what it's called. The Roman Catholic dog collar. Why would the Most High save a religion that was used to be a curse unto his people? The Most High said, if y'all want to follow these people here, I'm going to give you to these people. And you're going to watch these people use their religion on you to trodden you down and beat you up. Since you don't want to go by my law, statutes, commandments, you will go by theirs. And theirs is basically being hypocrites. Them, they don't even follow their own rules. They don't even follow their own scriptures. But this is what you want to serve. I'm going to allow you to serve it. Gods that you know not. And one of those guys that we knew not at that time, Jesus Christ. So let Jesus Christ come down and save Nigerians. There's nothing you can do. We don't understand the Ruach of authority. We underestimate the Ruach of authority. Yeshayahu 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, Yahuwah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. If you are not coming with true repentance, then why is the Most High going to continuously listen to your prayers just for you to keep going back to sin? Why do you think he would listen to the prayers of Nigerian Christians where they still do all of the pagan feast days and even some ancestral feast days that they have tied into that religion coming from hoodoo, Geechee Gullah, or voodoo, or water-worshipping spirits, tied it into Christianity? How do you not know that this doesn't go on? How do you not know? How also do you know that the Most High hasn't not tried to give them clemency or leniency and sending teachers or ministers or real apostles to go in and say, hey, you may want to find out that this is the real way. Hey, the children in America are waking up. The Most High is waking up his children. Maybe you should get on that boat. How do you not know teachers or whoever they was sent in there to show them the real truth? How do you know that that didn't happen and they decided to turn their back on the truth? I mean, IUIC went into, I don't know if it was Kenya or they went in some part of East Africa, I believe, where they were saying that Jesus Christ was black, and they almost had a uprising, a lynching, because they didn't want to hear it. And even though the IUIC is out there under false pretenses of sharing the truth, because they do everything based on color, because it's a Masonic organization, and Freemasons, because of Zionism being its overseer, do things through race. It's the easiest trigger to get people is using black and white. It's to use the checkerboard of the lodges. So they went over there and, you know, false pretenses trying to share the truth, and they were ran out of town. So basically, they're hard-headed and stiff-necked for a reason out there. But the Most High said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. That's backed up in scripture. I'll get to that later. Proverbs 28:9, he that turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Turns away his ear from hearing the Torah. So Christians trying to pray for other Christians being persecuted is like, it's like throwing spaghetti at a dartboard and expecting it to stick. Like, the Most High is merciful to a point. But if he is trying to awaken you, or he's trying to put the truth in front of your eyes, it's up to you whether you not you want to accept it or not. Truly, it's up to you. Like, we all have been called, but it says many are called, but few are chosen. We have to answer that call. The reason why we are in this particular walk, in this particular journey at this point in time, is because we answered the call. Just like the Most High had to call a couple of prophets three times in order for them to understand. But the Most High has called us a couple of times. And he didn't rebuke us. He was patient with us. But he knew that eventually we would answer the call. I'm pretty sure there are nations on top of nations that the Most High just didn't call because he knew that they weren't going to answer it until he showed his power. He showed his right hand of judgment. And that's what it's going to be like for most Christians and most religious zealots in this generation. They need to see the Most High. We feel the Most High through obedience. They want to see it before they believe it. And this is the problem with this generation. This is why I stopped trying to wake up every single person or make it my business to wake up every single person. They have to see it on their own. It's through trials that they are able to see if what they're doing works and what they don't do hasn't worked. What they do works or not work, and what they haven't done work or not work. They have to go through that themselves. People expect you to come to their house with a 15-minute slideshow presentation of all the truth they need to know about this world. Then they want you to show them a futuristic hologram of how, if they follow the law, statutes, commandments in the Torah a specific way, that these are the blessings that's going to happen to them in the future. This is what people need for them to be awakened now. Without the Most High showing them judgment, they need to see everything before they can make a decision. Even though they make decisions based off dead works and they do not see the foreseeable future if what they're doing is right or wrong, it's the only life they know. Sadly, it's all they know because they've seen their parents go through it and nothing happened to their parents. So this is why they're glued to this path of destruction. They think in themselves, or subconsciously think, nothing has ever happened to my. Matter of fact, my parents have been successful doing it this way. So why do I need to move or change from it if my parents or my grandparents have been successful in a religion, successful in this world? It's hard to shake somebody out of that mind programming. It truly is. Until you are being called, especially for us, some of us who were just, we weren't rotten to the core, but we were bad. But we would be more popular today than we were at the time of our sin in this world. We would be popular because now evil is good and good is evil. We would be thriving for those who are easily manipulated by evil and lived through our own rules, our own law, statutes, and commandments. We would be thriving right now. But we decide to be chosen. Yeshayahu 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahuwah. My ruach that is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahuwah, from henceforth and forever. Now, this is still somewhat true, even though our ancestors, our forefathers have been in Christianity or any other religion, we still known of the Most High. We still know scripture. I mean, the easiest one is, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. We know that without even having to open up the Bible because we heard our mothers and our grandmothers use this scripture multiple times. But it's still the Most High's words, never leaving our ancestors' mouths. Even when we came off the boat here, we still had carried some Hebrew language into this country. So his words never departed. Our minds departed, but his words never departed. But he made a covenant with us and those who are strangers, called out assembly Gentiles. This is his covenant with us. He didn't make a covenant with religion. He didn't make a covenant with Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Kemet, or whatever. He didn't make a covenant with it. That backed up with, I mentioned before in Jubilees 15:32, but over Yashar, he did not appoint any angel or ruler, for he alone is their ruler, and he will guard them and require them at the hand of his angels and his ruach, and at the hand of all his powers, in order that he may guard them and bless them, and that he may be his and he may be theirs from henceforth forever. When forever means forever, it's forever. And I mentioned last episode about those who aren't of the nation of Yasharel. You are still looked at as repairers of the breach within your bloodlines. When I said, like, it was like the Ten Commandments and Moses, like, your family is seeing the savior of their bloodline. Before they close their eyes, they were able to see the salvation and savior of their bloodline, which is you. And I wanted to bring a verse that I saw in Yeshayahu that talked about that somewhat. Yeshayahu 55 verses 5 through 6. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and nations that knew not you shall run unto you because of Yahuwah Elohaka, and for the Holy One of Yasharel, for he has glorified you. Seek ye Yahuwah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You shall call a nation that you know not, and nations that knew not you shall run unto you because of Yahuwah. This is the beginning of repairing the breach. This is where we are. When the children of Yasharel started to open up their eyes and saw the truth for what it was and start being a light to the other nations became curious about that light. And now we have multiple nations that we knew not, coming into the truth. This is what IUIC tried to corrupt and tried to manipulate by saying, well, all of South America is, basically all of South America is the 12 tribes. So it would stop other Negroes from waking up. Like, we're all in this together. We're all colored. We've all been persecuted by the Europeans. So we're all together. And by bringing everyone together under this Masonic umbrella, you don't truly learn and grow in the word, because you're listening to teachers who are false teachers, but who are trying to push a Luciferian agenda when the time comes. Why do you think they go marching around all the time and showing this strength of power? Eventually, that power will be tested. Eventually, they're going to be used. And bodies are going to drop. So they're trying to amass so many different races to go against what they think is the white man. I don't see really any white IUIC members. I see a lot of blacks and Latinos. That's what I see. So they're trying to use the whole color thing to go against a system when the time comes. And then they're going to say, oh, we were wrong. Let's now funnel into the beast system. Because that's their ultimate goal, is to funnel their sect into the beast system. Seek ye Yahuwah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So if you're not turned away from righteousness, he will not hear the prayers of the wicked. And if you are a friendship of this world, he's definitely going to be your enemy. So why are we feeling sorry again for Nigerian Christians or any Christians that are persecuted, when scripture should told them that religion isn't in there? Their religion, particularly religion, isn't in there. So what are we even feeling sorry for? Or why do we even care? If we see past skin color and go to the heart of the problem, it's because they're not reading the scriptures properly. That's it. If they tout that they love Jesus, they follow Jesus, they give their life over to Jesus, allow them to give their life over to that false idol, that false God. Yeshayahu 56, 1 through 8. Thus says Yahuwah, guard ye judgment and do justice, for my Yeshua is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of Adam that lays hold on it, that guards the Shabbat from polluting it and guards his hand from doing any evil. Are Nigerian Christians doing any Shabbats? I doubt it. Their Shabbat is probably on Sundays, which they got from the Roman Catholic Church. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to El Yahuwah speak, saying, Yahuwah has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to Yahuwah speak, saying, Yahuwah has utterly separated me from his people. Most High saying, it will never happen. If you come to worship and follow me, you will be grafted into with my children. You will be brought into the community of my children. You don't need to seek out the community. You will be brought into it. You don't need to be seeking a camp, because I'm going to raise you up and bring you amongst a community that you won't be fooled in, that you won't be susceptible to doctrine that goes against my words. For thus says Yahuwah, unto the eunuchs that guard my Shabbats and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, that choose the things that please me. This is the argument I have online with Christians. They think they don't have to do anything. They say that they follow Jesus, they love Jesus, and they use these Israelite camps to promote their righteousness and saying that they're more righteous than these Israelite camps. But they don't feel that they need to do anything other than say, I love Jesus and I follow Jesus, and then make memes and rap songs, drill beat songs, and skits about them loving Jesus. They think that's all it takes. But they're not choosing the things that please the Most High, because they don't learn any of those things, because they have equated Jesus with God. And this is what the Roman Catholic Church has done. If they can make Tammuz, which is really what the Roman Catholic Church has taken from Babylon and created Jesus out of Tammuz. That's, you know, the Tammuz cross is the Christian cross, if you look that up. So the reason why they brought up Tammuz is because they knew that this sun god, or this god's son, would replace Nimrod. Eventually will replace Nimrod. So we're not talking about Nimrod no more. They're talking about the mother, Queen Mary of Heaven, which is Semiramis, Tammuz's mother. So if they're trying to make everything into a a goddess worship system, you remove the masculine anyway. So the reason why they give you Tammuz, the son of quote-unquote God, is so you can wipe out Yahuwah. So if you can wipe out the words of Yah, if they just give you the sun, you only focus on what the sun says. This is the problem with Christianity. Christianity doesn't tell you what the Most High God says, because they have equated Jesus with God. They think Jesus is the one that created this world in 7 days. So they think that he's the only person that we need to go to. It's only his words that we need to listen to. We don't need to listen to the Old Testament and hear the words of what the Most High God says, what Yahuwah says. That's why they have framed or boxed themselves into a very, very, a very, very small box of doctrine, because they only use the New Testament. More or less, they only use the words of Yahusha and the words of Paul to fill in the holes of the New Testament. The holes of the Old Testament, when the Most High brought out some of these prophecies of the future. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahuwah to serve him and to love the name of Yahuwah, to be his servants, everyone that guards the Shabbat from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Everyone that guards the Shabbat from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their ascending smoke offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. IUIC talks about how only Negroes are saved. Only Negroes and Latinos are going to be saved because they went through all of this tribulation by the European. That the Gentiles will not be saved. But here, the Most High basically prides himself on the stranger or the son of the stranger joining themselves to Yahuwah to serve him and to love the name of Yahuwah. Not to love the name of God, Lord, or Jesus Christ, but the name of Yahuwah. If you read this in the King James Version, it makes no sense that why he would say, love the name of the Lord, when that is a title. Lord is not a name, it's a title. God is not a name, it's a title. So we have come to know the name of Yahuwah because we what? And I go back to this, we answered the call. We wanted to know. We were chosen after answering the call to start seeking him while he may be found. Even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their ascending smoke offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. So those who are not of the nation of Yashareel have already figured out how to worship the Most High, to love the name of Yahuwah, to take hold of his covenant, and to do his ascending smoke offerings. If you argue with the Christian and say, oh, this is legalistic, that those old laws are done away with, then why is the Most High going to rebirth these laws, these statutes, and these commandments then? Why is he going to bring back ascending smoke offerings if they are a key component to doing what pleases him? So if I'm doing ascending smoke offerings, you Gentiles, you strangers, you should be doing ascending smoke offerings. Period. I don't care how you do it. You find a way to do it, and the Most High will help you find a way to do it. But this is all in repairing the breach in your bloodlines. Yeshayahu 58:11-12, and Yahuwah shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is the Most High's work, but it also trickles down into you and your respective relationships with your family members, within your households, with your children. If you have children who are wayward, if you have children that are not listening to your truth, if you have children that are remaining in doctrines and just being rebellious against your household, against your order, this is what we are called to do. Repairing the breach, the bloodlines, the order within our households. And the Most High said he will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He will not allow you to fail if he is with you continually, is what he is actually saying. Like, even if you go through trials and tribulations, even if you go through want and not having, it don't matter. If you rely on me, I will bring you through the trials and tribulations. That you should be for a sign amongst your own family members, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. If your family sees you walk a certain way or walk down a certain path, eventually they will understand that path if you stay consistent with it. So this is the issue with Consistency versus gossip. See, gossip, it needs to wake up every single day and speak against you every single day to be believed. Every single day, gossip needs to wake up early and go to sleep late. You being consistent with not much energy, who are just showing through action, that's all you need to disrupt the rumors or the plans or the devices of being around gossip when it comes to this path and this walk. Eventually, they will watch it for what it is, and truly, their ruach will be ignited to why you follow it this way. And when things start tumbling down all around them, they will acquire, say, well, how are you doing it this way and being successful in doing it? How are you such in a calm spirit? Because really, they pay it, like I said before in the last episode, they pay attention to you more than they ever had when you were in this world and around them. They pay attention to you more. You think they don't? They do. You don't know how many social media accounts they have created just to spy on you, just to watch you. You don't know how many conversations your name have came out of their mouths around people who just as unsure as they are. Let your works, not your mouth, let your works be the restorer of the paths for them to dwell in. If you start carving that way, if you start removing the issues within your own body, which means anger, frustration, wrath, vengeance, being cold, cutting people off, being short with them, impatient. If you remove these emotions out of your walk, I'm telling you, they will find a way to walk behind you. They will find a way to dwell in the past that you are creating by walking with the Most High. And we're doing this for a specific man, the marred man. Yeshayahu 52, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at you, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. To see him marred. You know what marred means? Now think of Emmett Till. Could the Most High be marred in his face, his body, like to that extent? I mean, there's been a lot of beaten bodies that we have seen just being in America. I mean, there's the picture, the infamous picture of Whip Peter, which was a slave that had his back turned. He had all those marks on his back. You think of Emmett Till, you think of all these children who have been persecuted and beat up for winking at white girls, and you would think like a human being can be beat this badly. But when you read scripture and it says that Yahushua was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, that makes you truly think he was beaten pretty badly. Thorns pressed into his head, being spat on, being punched randomly, and then being made to take a cross or take his stake down to where he was going to be crucified, while also being whipped for falling and not accomplishing that task. You can't even imagine, not even the Passion of the Christ, when you watch Mel Gibson's movie, of how they used these scourges that whipped him so bad that you could see bone. Like, we still can't fathom how badly beaten Yahushua was for our sakes. Which is sad to me, because you get into these random arguments about Christians not calling him by his Hebrew name, but continually calling him by continually calling him by a Greek name and telling them, hey, the letter J wasn't invented at that time, so what would they even be calling him? And then you bring up Acts and say, well, the Sadducees didn't want any of the apostles to preach in the real name. So Christians have not equated them being like the Sadducees because they refuse to say the Hebrew name, which is not that hard to say. But again, it is a spirit of authority that is not allowing them to come to the knowledge of this truth. It's through pride and through ego that is holding them back from just observing the knowledge to call this man his respective name, especially if you, when you read what he went through for us, it should be out of respect. If you have a boss, his name is Juan Gonzalez. Do you say, no, I'm going to call him John because he's in America? No, you respect your boss. You want to continue to get paid, right? You don't want to get fired or reprimanded. So you, out of respect, will call your boss Juan or Mr. Juan or Mr. Gonzalez. Why? When it comes to a man that has given his entire life for us and did nothing wrong, a lamb without blemish, do we not respect this man enough to call him by his Hebrew name? It ain't like some weird African name that you need all these different sounding clicks and clacks and vowels to go along with it. It's a very simple name, Yahusha. I don't know why that's so different. It will differentiate between the Messiah of the Bible and this Grecian one that they have set up that says that he gets us by allowing any and everything. That sin is passive. And through his mercy, salvation, and grace, no one needs to truly serve the Most High Yahuwah. Just serve Jesus Christ. Just listen to the words of Jesus Christ. And then Paul. And that's all you need. But even in Yeshayahu, before the birth of Yahusha, he was already talked about. And people who try to talk against the Bible, they tend to use all of the sun gods and all of the god sons that had been created previous to Yahusha's coming as a way to say that the Bible is an allegory or it's all symbolism. It's all about the zodiac. It's about the stars, the sun, the sky, and the movement through seasons. That's where they rely most of their doctrine on, because of these other nations that have created the same story of Yahusha. And you have to go back to Genesis to why that happened. If in Genesis it said that the Most High told the serpent, there will be a righteous seed that will stomp your head. So obviously, the angels know this because they've been up there. If the angels know this, the fallen angels know this, and demons ended up knowing this, they knew eventually there would be a son born so righteous that he would be able to conquer all of the devices of Satan. They know this story was coming. So what they tried to do was keep remaking the story, reheating this story, so it would be a confusion for later generations. So every generation had that confusion of believing that God sent a son, Nimrod, and the son was Tammuz. And then there was a mother god who birthed the son, which is Semiramis. And they kept reheating this in different cultures. So it would rob you of, just like Satan, you know, the Most High is planting seeds and Satan comes with ravens and plucks up the seed. That's all they did during those generations, was trying to find ways to match that story. Until when the story truly came, then everybody was shook. Then it was, we got to eradicate everybody. When they thought it would be Moses, kill all the sons of the Israelites. When they knew it was going to be Yahusha this time, kill all the sons of the Israelites. Yeshayahu 54. Verses 4 through 9, not 4 through 17. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. And this goes back to when I talked about how the nation of Yisrael is looked at as a woman. And we looked at as a prostitute, as a whore that keeps running around behind the Most High's back and then wanting to the Most High to save us countless times when we're caught in our side piece's bed. Would you ever take yourself back? Would you take a mate back? Let me bring it there. Would you take your partner back if you caught your partner in the bed of their side piece? Like literally, you caught them in the act. Would you take them back? And if you took them back, would you keep taking them back? Keep taking them back. Keep taking them back. To a point where they'll allow you to go to a partner so vicious, so mean, so abusive, that you are no longer going to go back to that side piece, that you're going to actually stay with Yahuwah. This is what it's like for him to deal with us. For your maker is your husband, Yahuwah Sabaoth is his name, and your redeemer, the Holy One of Yasharel, the Elohai of the whole earth shall he be called. For Yahuwah has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in her ruach, and a woman of youth, when you were refused, says your Elohim. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you. A little wrath. Do you understand that? A little wrath. If you think of all of the destruction, all of the captivities, all of the bloodshed, everything that's happened to us, I'm talking about even being thrown in swamps, used as alligator bait, hung from trees, all of this. And he says a little wrath. So imagine the wrath to come to these other nations that do not obey the gospel if what we went through is called little or a small moment. I mean, obviously, 1,000 years, or even 400 years, is literally like a day in heaven. And 400 years, if you take, all right, if a day in heaven, it's like 1,000 years, and you take 400 years, that's almost not even a day. That's maybe 10 hours. That's 400 years to the Most High is like maybe 10 to 9 hours of affliction. But for us, we felt that. We feel that time. For this, as is the waters of Noah unto me, as I have sworn 7 oaths that the waters of Noah should no longer go over the earth, so have I sworn 7 oaths that I would not be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. This is a promise. The first captivity is like the last captivity, and there won't be any more captivities after this one, except the captivities of these other nations who, led in captivity, will have to go into captivity. And this is why the Most High is calling you strangers, you Gentiles, to him. It's through his mercy and through his loving grace that you do not end up as captive bait for his reward or for his judgment and justice to prove the Torah and prove the book of Revelation. This is why you're being called. And if you are being chosen, even better. So to say that the Most High is not allowing Gentiles to be grafted in or not allowing the strangers to be grafted in that love the name of Yahuwah is absurd. To say that it's no salvation for the Gentile, that is absurd. Because I have never seen the Most High turn anyone away that loves his name and takes hold of his covenant. The more the merrier. But he knows that not a lot of people are going to turn to the truth, especially in this generation. And all your children shall be taught of Yahuwah, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, and for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. This is why we no need of any fear of what's going to happen to this generation or to happen within our respective countries. It should be no fear. These people have armies, tanks, helicopters, all the best military personnel and weaponry that a man could ever create. And they can't do nothing with it because it's the Most High who have allowed man to create it to be a waster and to destroy his own self, to let those things recompense upon their own heads. This is why he's allowing these weapons to come in to fruition. This is why he is allowing these nations to amass certain wealth. Because he knows he's going to destroy them with it. If these people really had their way, we would already be in the New World Order decades ago. They've already had the power to put us under subjugation. They already had the know-how to fool us with AI. If they really didn't want us saying anything about Israel or saying anything about Satan, we would already be eradicated. Like the movies, they wouldn't have to put predictive programming in movies. They would just do it. Like the Captain America movie Project Insight. How they said it could rub a couple of thousand off a list in seconds. They could have already had that up. Anybody who didn't want to be a part of the beast system, they could have already had this cooking. But they don't control it. Anything. This is why they have to predict the program and warm you up to every little thing. You have to agree to what they bring in front of your face. If you agree to it, or if you take it as a joke and take it lightly, this is how they win. They're saying, we're telling you exactly what we are. And you're falling for it because we're doing it with a grand show. We're giving you the stars, the fireworks, the moon, the sun. We're giving you all these lights. We are masquerading as righteousness before your eyes, but we're giving you little tiny symbolisms and we're giving you symbolism and numerology to go with our truth, to show you that we aren't truly a part of the righteousness that you know of in the scriptures, but of Satan's righteousness. We are masquerading. We're telling you that we're masquerading in front of you. Yet you still take us serious because we take who we worship serious. And that's what people don't understand. They can just say God and you'd be like, oh, they must be talking about the God of the Bible. They must be talking about Jesus. But all of their works go contrary to who that God is. So why be embarrassed or be an embarrassment to your bloodline by getting caught constantly in these little Masonic rituals? Like, at least 10,000 people unfollow me on Instagram because I start going after that whole Charlie Kirk situation. And again, I guarantee you most of these were European Christians. But they felt so offended because I used him getting shot in his neck and he didn't get shot in his neck because I knew it was fake. And I knew it was AI because they show it. And now it gotten so worse and so cringy. His wife, it's just, when you just watch it, it looks like a circus, it looks like a sideshow. It's embarrassing. It's like secondhand embarrassing to watch people fall for it. And now they're online trying to eat up every little thing that Candace Owens is saying, which is why she's keep dragging them to one rabbit hole to another. She went from blaming Donald Trump, blaming Netanyahu, blaming all these other Jews that I hadn't even heard of. And then she switched that and said, oh, okay, I've been talking to him and he'd been sharing me text messages before he knew he was going to be killed. So she shares the text messages. Then that went away with. Then she's like, the people who think he's still alive aren't crazy because this happened. Like she's doing these little rabbit hole hunts for people who don't want to accept the truth of the matter. Even when she has told you, I am one of the Freemasons at Turning Point. She's said that. When she started this whole rabbit hole hunting, that was the first thing she said. I'm one of the Masons at Turning Point. And that went over a lot of people's heads and still didn't take to it. So they want it to know why their particular hero was taken away from them. Despite what she said, and exposed and how she exposed herself, they didn't even want to hear it. So now they're jumping around in rabbit holes while she's making money off of them. She's made about $150,000 since then, since September 10th, she's been, well, I would say she was a little bit after that. So within the 30, 40 days, she's already been making $150,000. You know, that money doesn't all go to her, it goes to Zionism. Because that's, they allow her to be set up. I mean, she has her picture all over this talent agency. So it's people who want to be used are put in the position to persuade the masses that they're going to ever tell them the truth. And they're not. They're just making money off of them, making fun of them at the same time. But everybody's trying to find little ins and outs and holes and rabbit holes to go into over this Charlie Kirk situation while not looking at Erica Kirk, because it's cringy. It's like secondhand embarrassment watching her perform. She can't really act. She really doesn't have much talent. And watching that, I think it's even exposing herself. Like, I'm so bad of an actor, yet you guys still follow me. Let me do something else that makes me so cringy, like wearing his freedom shirt and leather pants for, I don't know, I don't know why they were at Ole Miss. But they're staying in the South because obviously they think black and white people that are in the South are dumb. They go to those type of places, Arizona or like Tennessee, like somewhere in the deep South they go where they know majority of white folks are and majority of them aren't that bright down there. So that's where they go. They don't bring her up in New York and bring her up, but like they're not doing that. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahuwah, and their righteousness is of me, says Yahuwah. Christians stop at no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. That's where they stop. But if they read it further, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahuwah. If you are not serving Yahuwah and you are serving a fictitious God or serving a title or serving religion, this is not part of your heritage. Destruction is part of your heritage. The heritage of the servants of Yah, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And any tongue that says anything other than glory, grace, blessings, we are going to be able to condemn. He says, you shall condemn it. I'm giving you the spirit of authority for you to condemn it. I don't have to condemn it. All I have to do is glorify you. And through my knowledge and through your obedience, you will be able to say what's necessary to condemn, to cast out. For this is the heritage of the servants of Yahuwah, and their righteousness is of me. So, where is the righteousness of the religions? Who is righteous? A man that has never existed? Jesus Christ? Where do you get your righteousness from? It can't be from the Son because you're not following the Son. Pun intended. So how are you gaining some righteousness? This is why Christians get on social media and their very first words out of their mouth is, as a Christian, I do this, or as a Christian, I do that. It's because they need to separate themselves from the rest of the world because they know they look exactly like the world in mirror image. This is why they have to say it. They don't understand this yet. The reason why we don't say, as an Israelite, because our walk speaks for itself. Our walk separates us from the rest of the world. Even you called out assembly Gentiles. Your walk should do the talking. You should never say, well, I'm trying to be grafted in. You shouldn't even have to have that full-length conversation of who you follow and what you are all about or what your path is. They should be able to see it. When you start checking out of these pagan feast days, like that's coming up, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, when they see you go dark and they see you be non-existent in their households, that is when they pay attention to your actions, not necessarily what you say. When they, hey, you're going to come around and you don't say nothing, or you be like, no, nah, I'm good. I'm not coming out. I don't do those things. That's enough for them. That's enough for them to know that you're separate from them. But Christians, will cut themselves up into bad Christians or good Christians and lukewarm Christians, and they're all doing the same feast days. Satanists and Luciferians do the same feast days. Freemasons do the same feast days. This is why you can't tell a Christian and a Freemason apart. This is why a lot of people fell for the whole Erica Kirk and Charlie Kirk fiasco. You couldn't tell the religion from the Freemason. And because they infused these religions along with these old Knights of the Templar orders, you're led to destruction. So you would know the difference between an Israelite and a Christian, because obviously we follow a completely different set of rules. So we don't have to say, hey, we are as an Israelite, we don't, you know, do this, and as an Israelite, we don't do that. We just don't show up. You just see us, you know, doing ascending smoke offerings. If you're our neighbors, you just see us when there's a new moon that we periodically are burning up flesh in the backyard. We're burning up ascending smoke offerings in the backyard. We're doing prayers, blowing shofars, blowing trumpets. That's what sets us apart. We don't have to go out there and broadcast it. You could just see what we do and know that we are different from what you do. But this is the heritage, and our righteousness is of the Most High, because we are doing what pleases him. Because at the end of the day, that's all that's going to save us. I don't know anybody who was eradicated in scripture or destroyed in scripture or brought low in scripture doing exactly what the Most High says do to please him. I have not seen it. I've seen people being shot in their own churches. I've seen a civil rights leader's mother being shot in her own church. I've heard multiple, not just in Nigeria, I've heard multiple mass, you know, beheadings of Christians in other countries, because they're not doing anything that pleases the Most High for them to even be paid attention to. If they turn their ear from hearing the Torah, then everything about their walk, their journey, is an abomination. Because if you don't hear the Torah, you are susceptible to doing worldly doctrines. And if the world is at enmity between Yahuwah and itself, does not he say that the world will be destroyed with fire? Didn't he say that unrighteousness and wickedness and the worldly doctrines, the doctrines of Babylon, will be quenched with fire? Yet people won't read the scriptures and won't read the little ins and outs of prophecies in the Old Testament, because they're so glued and stuck to the New Testament, as if they're truly searching for the Ruach, is searching for a way to be grafted in or to be guarded in the end times, why not go to where the Most High was showing up and guarding the Israelites through those battles with the Canaanites and through neighboring nations? Why not go through Judges to see how the Most High was saving his people in the book of Joshua, how he was saving his people, that there were laws, statutes, and commandments, even when they didn't fully accept the Torah, that they had to adhere to certain ordinances in order to be saved. And when they didn't do these ordinances, the Most High didn't go with them into battle. And he let them know, like, why are you crying? I told you, I cannot be with you if you are doing wickedness. So why do you think doing wickedness in religions is the Most High going to be with you continually? How do you think this man was so righteous with us that he was just now lax and laid back with religions in this generation? I'll see y'all next time.